Thank you, Father God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Word of God. Open it to us today, we ask, Holy Father, that we might understand, that we might be transformed, that we might receive nourishment for the journey as we partake of you today, the living Word. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about the intellect and the heart. What it is to be mighty in spirit. And God gave us a marvelous intellect. At least He gave some of you a marvelous intellect. But God gave us the ability to reason. And it's very important that we use our minds. Would you agree?
Yes.
But we never want to, when it comes to spiritual matters, in fact, not just spiritual matters, but anything in life, operate solely from the intellectual part of us.
Yes.
But what we need to understand is that our minds or our intellects, that reasoning part of us, needs to come under authority to our spirit combined with God's spirit. Our spirit combined with God's spirit, and then the mind or the intellect needs to be subservient to that part of you. We get into trouble when our intellect, okay, controls our spirit. So I want to talk about being mighty in spirit today. And this is something that I've touched on before, but when I started to look into this, again, God really began to download some things that I think are really going to be helpful for us to understand a little bit better about how we're wired and how we can be more effective in life in general, in doing life. If you would, open to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 4, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Now, God gave us a mind, but we were never supposed to use our minds to learn the details of evil. We are to understand and discern evil using our spirits. We're going to talk about that. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And then they attempted to cover their own nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now the devil has been a liar from the very beginning, and he always twists what God says. And the devil knows Scripture very well. He can quote Scripture. And so what we need to understand is that our minds were given, all right, to be a servant to our spirit man and not the other way around. We were not to use our minds or have our minds opened, if you will, to evil, but by the Spirit to discern good and evil. And then once there's been discernment from the Spirit, then we can use our minds to, if you will, compile the facts, begin to investigate in to the situation that you're faced with. If you've ever bought a used car and we've had encounters with salesmen, now there are some good salesmen out there, But there's some real winners too, right? There are some real deceivers out there. Now, a person who doesn't have any discernment or has not had life experience will very easily, can very easily be entrapped by someone who seems to be their friend. But his motivation is to get you to buy something that he wouldn't buy. He wants to abuse you, take advantage of you. And often through intimidation and manipulation, he will attempt to control you into doing something that you wouldn't even have thought of doing ordinarily. Has anybody ever been pressured before? Has anybody ever been duped before? There's a few honest people here today. Yeah. We all have. Romans 16:19 says, "Your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf," Paul said. "But I want you to be wise in what is good." Wise concerning good. And innocent or simple concerning evil. When a person has an unhealthy interest in learning about evil, even sometimes Christians get caught up into studying evil. Often with the right motive, so that they may understand it and know how to combat it, know how to deal with it. But we can only understand truth and be discerning about what is good and evil through the Holy Spirit who indwells our spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And so if we approach study of anything solely with the intellect, it's called human wisdom or worldly wisdom. The wisdom of this world. There's nothing wrong with the sciences that want to study creation and the laws of gravity and the laws of physics and these types of things. But there's a higher law. There's something that God reveals to us that you don't see from a natural perspective. And it's the only by the Holy Spirit mingled with our spirit, connected with our spirit, that we're able to discern what is really true and what is really false. We've all made intellectual decisions based upon just pure reason. We reason things, we look at things, we evaluate things, we scientifically study something and we come to a conclusion about a matter. But it's only by the Spirit of God that we can discern the deeper truths that lie underneath that. A natural man will come up with a theory such as evolution because it's all a natural understanding and a natural environment. But a spiritual man will understand that there's more to it, amen, than what you can see, touch, and feel. That things that are made were made by an unseen hand, amen? So we have to be wise in what is good, but innocent concerning evil. Now, we judge truth by God's Spirit, right? Who bears witness with our spirit. Otherwise, we operate from the intellect and we make wrong judgments. As a believer, it's possible to make wrong judgments. Because we lack discernment. Discernment comes through a process of growth. By reason of exercising, by reason of use, our senses, that there's a sensory organ, if you will, within us, a discerner within us, that God's Spirit will enlighten and open your eyes to what is really going on. There are times when we operate from the intellect and we think that we're operating in the spirit when we're not. The Pharisee thought they were more righteous. They thought that they knew. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus went beyond the surface of things and He went to the heart and He began to expose their hearts. And they didn't like Him very much. Because Jesus, the Bible says, grew and became mighty in spirit.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus became like you and I in every way. He became a man. So you can say, but that was Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He left glory. In other words, He became just like you and I for the purpose of redemption. Where first Adam had lost it, Jesus regained it. But Jesus also learned obedience through the things that He suffered as He grew, and as a boy, as He was growing up, He was learning, you see, how to tell the difference. Now, Jesus was without sin, but He had to learn the same way that we learn. He became mighty in spirit. Who else became mighty in spirit as He grew? John the Baptist. John also was mighty in spirit. How could John know except that the Holy Spirit, together with his spirit, amen, He was bearing witness to his spirit man and revealing the motivations of hearts. And a person who is mighty in spirit can read beyond the surface of things. And that's why usually babes in the Lord, I don't say always, but usually babes in the Lord really need some protection. They need older saints to come around them so that they do not get deceived by something that on the surface appears to be right and to be spiritual. But underlying that is a wrong motivation. And so those who are mighty in spirit are those who have been developed in their spirit man to be able to tell the difference between what is true and what is false. And when we approach the study of Scripture, we must always approach it with a discerning heart in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand truth except by the Holy Spirit. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. And that's why the world thinks that Christians are foolish, because their eyes are closed. They do not understand what is going on below the surface or the obvious. So we are to judge truth by God's Spirit, who bears witness with our spirit, okay, in harmony with Scripture. We must study the Scripture, but it must be done, amen, through intimacy in the Spirit. Otherwise, we operate from the cranial, amen? And when we operate from the intellect, there are what you may call intellectual Christians who have a lot of knowledge. Are you with me today? But can hurt. Why was John able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart? Luke 1:80 says, "The child grew, John, and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." There was a time period, there was a time, if you will, of incubation. He was being prepared for his ministry, and he was being prepared in a place that was not pleasant. Sometimes we want to jump right into the saddle and go. But there is a time and there is a season for God's ministry for you. How about Jesus? Again, Jesus was able to discern. And it says in Luke 1 and verse 80. Excuse me. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. This is talking of Jesus now. That the child grew and became strong in spirit. He became mighty in spirit. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus judged all things by his spirit and not according to his natural understanding or reason. Now, sometimes when you speak this way, a flag will go up and people are saying, then are you saying that we don't use our minds? No, that would be foolish also. God gave us a mind to reason with, correct? But your mind, I'm going to say it one more time, needs to be the servant of your spirit. Everything must begin first. Amen? Amen. Through intimacy with God in the Spirit. And then proper understanding of the Scriptures will come. We'll begin to understand what the truth is. Because in our natural reason, we are not capable of correctly understanding God's Word. That's why we have so many doctrines out there. So much confusion. Because God is not the author of confusion, so it must be the enemy. God is the author of peace. On the other hand, one who is mighty in intellect is more prone to judge truth by reason. So we want to be strong in spirit. That is why it is vital that we pray. That we are people of His presence. Are you with me? And you can't even begin to be a person of His presence until you have received His presence. You must be born again. You must be saved. The Spirit of Christ must be in you for you to really know what is true. And as you begin to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, through intimacy with Him, through a walk with Him, through, yes, even life experience walking with Jesus, making some mistakes along the way. But that's how we learn also. God is working in you. God is building you, but you have to cooperate with Him in that process. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So, there comes a time in everyone's life where we need to make a decision whether we're going to be ruled by our intellect or our natural mind or our spirit integrated with God's Spirit. In witchcraft, it's in the intellect that controls the spirit and manipulates the spirit man as its servant. Are you with me? All of you have a spirit man. Your spirit man needs to be mingled together with God's Holy Spirit. Yes. And then we must listen to the voice of the Spirit who gives us warnings, often even through the conscience. But He'll tell you, be careful. It's not what it seems to be. Are you with me? Yes. And if we don't pay attention, then the enemy is going to mess you up. Amen. And some of us have already learned that the hard way. I've certainly made my mistakes in life. Have you? Yes. But we're learning how to discern by building up the spirit man. The most important part of you is your spirit. If you neglect your spirit, you can feed your intellect all day long with novels and books and even Christian material and CDs and whatever it is out there on the market. But if you're not feeding your spirit man, you must be a person of His presence. You must be born of His Spirit, and you must have a relationship whereas the Spirit of God in you cries out, Abba, Abba Father, calling on the Lord. The Bible says you need to stir up the gift within you. If you're in Christ, you have giftings within you, but you've got to stir that up, and you've got to do that, amen, through praise, through worship of God. How many have discovered that when you've worshiped God, everything's brighter, everything's more clear? You can pick out a devil very quickly. So we need to stay and abide in a place with Him in intimacy where your spirit man is getting stronger and stronger. You're being built up internally so that that mind intellect become, it's easier to have that thing under control, because it's always through the mind that the enemy works. Come on. Speaks. And he tells you things that that thought was your thought, or that thought was God's thought, or that voice was God's voice. Are you hearing me today? Yes. Even where you got people that are crazy that go around and kill people and say God told them to do it. Oh, no, He didn't. I didn't have to tell you that, right? But we have to make a decision, folks. Which part of us is going to rule? Are you with me? If we don't do that, we're setting ourselves up for deception. And the greater the mental capacity, the more difficult it is to submit your mind to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Why? Because intellectual people have the most difficulty sometimes, not always. God has got some giants that are out there that are men and women of God that are extremely intelligent, but they've learned how to submit their intellect, amen, which is something God gave them, to the Spirit. Amen. And they're mighty. They're powerful. But beware that you don't operate from the other side of that spectrum. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "To be spiritually minded is life and peace." So God is not opposed to us using our intellects, all right? But we have a mind to reason with. But God is greater than our reason. I heard one amen over there. God is much bigger than our capacity to reason. So what happens, you got some people out there that are in the pulpits too that think they've got God figured out. That everything is in their test tube. Everything is in their box, their God box. This is what God's like. Well, we can know Him to a degree, but God is God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We must know Him through the Spirit. Yes. Yes. And when you judge according to the Spirit, amen? Amen. Then you're making righteous judgments. Amen. The Pharisees use their intellect to judge people. Those who are spiritual will judge all things, the Bible says, and yet are judged by no man. Do we make judgments? Of course we do. If we don't judge things, we're stupid. Did I say that? When you go to buy a car, amen, you got a reason. But if you're going to buy a car, and you got to ask, it's always a good idea to say, Lord, give me discernment here. Amen? Help me to read below the surface of what's going on here. Is this guy for real, or is he trying to pull the wool over on my eyes? Amen? And if you don't have peace about a decision, don't do it until you do. And if you never have peace, don't go there. The Lord gives us discernment. We are not smart enough in our intellect. Are you with us? We're not smart enough in our reason to outdo the devil. We must submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. Our reason has to come under the control of the Spirit. So when we're mighty in spirit, we become discerning, and we're able to protect our minds then from certain content. We're bombarded every day with all kinds of content. Amen. Right? Information. It's only by the Spirit that we're able to protect our intellect from making wrong choices, wrong decisions. You must be strong, mighty in spirit. As John the Baptist was growing, as Jesus was growing, as our children grow, we must teach them how to be mighty in spirit. We must teach them how to cultivate a walk with God, amen, so that they are built up in their spirit man and they're able to discern and smell a rat. It's not enough just to give them Scripture, folks. Scripture's important, but they must have a relationship with God. Amen. And if you're getting information and your gathering of scriptural knowledge does not lead to an encounter with God, you can become more dangerous than you are for good. And every one of us are confronted with this at times. We have to be careful when we make decisions in life, that our minds are under submission to the Spirit of God. Some people say, well, I thought it, therefore it must be from God. There are also some who believe that all knowledge is from God. Or it's God's knowledge, should I say. I mean, I know that knowledge can get distorted and twisted, and facts can be twisted. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. That word philosophy means the love of wisdom, natural understanding wisdom, comparing natural things with natural. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit or empty delusion. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says this, Colossians 2:8, don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. Yep. That sounded so spiritual. That comes from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not of Christ. That's what it's saying. True wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We operate from the Spirit. The natural man operates from the carnal, the natural. And so he compares natural with natural. But you and I, who have been born of the Spirit, need to understand, amen, how to use our spirits to discern things. And how that happens is as you are maturing, as you are being built up, as you are learning and growing, and through experience of life, you become stronger in your spirit man. And the things that used to dupe you no longer do. You've learned some things along the way. Your eyes have been opened to some things that previously you couldn't see. And it's funny because when we're baby Christians, you know, we feel like we know it all now. We become spiritual, you know, teenagers sometimes. I'm not not saying everybody does that, but, you know, it happens. I went through a period of that. Like, my pastor didn't know what he was talking about. I was so spiritual. He just wasn't spiritual enough for me. You know, like I said the other night, I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now, right? And we grow and we learn. And I've heard some old-timers who have walked with Jesus many years say, you know, the older I get and the more that I learn, the more I realize how little I know. That's true humility. They've been conditioned, amen? The processes of life have taught them a few lessons. If we're going to know anything, it's got to be revealed by the Spirit of God. Be careful about chasing after this person and that person. Amen? You need to, as an individual, cultivate a relationship with God. You must know Him personally. Don't rely on everybody else. I'm not saying you don't sit under teaching. I'm saying you need to have enough discernment to know if that teaching's of God or not. We need to judge everything by the Spirit. Christian wisdom appears to be foolishness to the people of the world who don't know Christ. It's because God's wisdom is far greater than human understanding, or human wisdom. We are instructed in Scripture to test the spirits. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but Hebrews 5:14 says this: solid food belongs to those who are of full age. We know that naturally, right? That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word senses is an organ of perception, or eyes of the heart. We have eyes in our hearts, folks. God gave them to us. But we have to have our eyes illuminated by the Holy Spirit so that we can discern or tell the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. So, again, I cannot overemphasize the importance of you and I walking in the Spirit, continuing to walk closely with Jesus, to be people of prayer. That word discern means judicial estimation. It means to be able to tell the difference or right judgment. Discern means judicial estimation. It means to be able to tell the difference. Do or make a right judgment. Now, if a person's spirit discerns that some information that they're receiving, okay, is not right. In other words, there's a check in your spirit. You say, wait a minute, something's not right with that. Has anybody ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
I hope you have. If not, you need to get saved. But if you notice that something, you know, is not right, what needs to happen is we need to use our minds then to investigate the facts and the concepts. You see, this is where your mind comes in, which are in error. That is how truth or error can be understood. So when your mind is a servant to your spirit, you first discern in your spirit. You know? And right away, if it's truth, your spirit will leap. And your mind and your spirit need to be brought into order. We need to be integrated. We need to be holy. What you're thinking, what you're speaking, what your motivations are, they're lining up. What you say and what you do lines up. Holy. So when we're integrated with God's Spirit, then we are integrated with Him who is holy, and therefore we have holiness. Holiness, amen, is not a result of actions that we do in our flesh. It's not enough to have a list of things to avoid. There are people who are very good at following their list of things to avoid. But their spirit is not right. We call them legalists. Jesus was confronted with legalism. Those who did not have the Spirit, who were highly educated and were skilled in using their intellect, but did not know the heart of the law, when Jesus was confronted with these people, they wanted to kill him. Because he saw below the surface of things, he saw the heart of people, he was able to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, and he began to expose the motivations of the heart. And they got upset with him. He's blowing our cover. We've had the monopoly on religion. And now everybody's following after Jesus, they said. So you discern with your spirit and you investigate using your mind. Study to show yourself approved. We need to study. I want to share three things with you. One, when a person is mighty in spirit, they will be able to perceive wrong motives, such as the example of the salesman. When a person is mighty in spirit, they will be able to discern impure motives. There's a difference between a wrong motive and an impure motive, such as a womanizer or a seductress who is coming on to a man or a man onto a woman with an impure motivation. And they will tell them that they love them. And then if you sleep with me, we'll be together forever. And so many have been deceived by that, because sometimes we make emotional decisions based upon intellectual understanding and reasoning, and we have not been able to discern below the surface that there's something wrong with what's happening here. This person does not really have my best interests in mind. This person has an agenda. This person has their own agenda, and they want to use me to accomplish their agenda. Are you with me? So if you're mighty in spirit, you will come to a place where you're able to discern impure motivations. And when a person's in mighty in spirit, they will be able to speak to the heart of conscience of an individual and avoid arguments based upon human understanding and reasoning. When we minister the word, we must minister from the heart or the spirit, not from the intellect. When it becomes an intellectual thing, then arguments will pursue. They will follow, should I say. Are you with me? When we operate in the spirit of Christ, when we're mighty in spirit, then we will avoid arguments that only cause strife. Even if it has to do with Bible studies, for example. We need to understand our spirit. We need to know how to operate from the spirit, man, and make the mind subject, all right, to the spirit of Christ. Otherwise, like I've said many times, you can win an argument with a person but lose their soul. So we don't want to lose a person, amen? Because we have intellectually, talked them under the table. I try as much as possible to avoid arguing. Amen. Because it has never been helpful. I've never found arguing, especially doctrine, helpful. As a matter of fact, I've left a few Bible studies and I needed to go home and take an aspirin. Because instead of being edified, I was stressed out. We are not to compare, amen, the things of God naturally to natural to natural, by taking simply the letter of the law, are you with me, and studying that. We compare spiritual with spiritual. And the minor intellect comes under authority of the Spirit. And And sometimes, even though you know a person is wrong, I want you to hear this about their understanding of Scripture. It will still do you no good to try to argue about it. You're not going to know truth except the Spirit of God reveals it. And the Spirit of God has to reveal it to that person. So there comes a time when you're into something with somebody that they're just not getting it. You just have to say, psh, done, over. They're not going to get it. As much explaining as you want to do, they're not going to get it unless God reveals it to them. So just let God reveal it to them. There's things that I don't know now that I'll know later. There's things that I thought I knew that I didn't know. But it's the Lord who reveals the truth, who gives us discerning, and who gives us the heart of the gospel. There's three ways to test teaching. Number one, we are to test every spirit. We are to test every spirit. 1 John 4:3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not of God. It didn't say every mind or intellect. Because people can do that naturally. Are you with me? But it has to be discerned in the Spirit. Have you ever run into anybody that had all the answers that could quote Scripture, but there was something missing? There was no spiritual connection there. Are you with me? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is coming in the flesh is of God. It didn't say every intellect or mind, but spirit. Okay. That word is pneuma. That's the spirit of man. And it must be, of course, together with God's Spirit. Second thing is we need to test every statement, what is being said. Again, every spirit that does not confess Jesus, amen, Christ, is not of God. And that Jesus has come in the flesh, that God became a man. Now, when you test the Spirit, how many realize that a spirit of contention and division is not of God? I don't care how accurately they're quoting Scripture. If it's done in contention and is causing division, it's not of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. Thirdly, we need to test the fruit of one's life and actions. Jesus said every tree is known by its fruit, right? By their fruits you'll know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the teaching which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, they have their own agenda. It's all about their own agenda. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. We must become mighty in spirit. How then do I become mighty in spirit? Again, you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. John 3 and 7. Amen? Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. John 1, 12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Secondly, by growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. Both charis, grace, and knowledge. Grace and knowledge. Grace and knowledge. If you grow in just knowledge, but you're not filling up in grace, hello? You're going to operate from the cranial, from the intellectual, and it's not going to edify or build. If anything, it can destroy, because the letter of the law destroys, but the Spirit gives life. When we have a time together in the Lord, we should be receiving life. We should be edified. We should be fed. Amen? We shouldn't be leaving stressed out. Now, if the Holy Spirit is nudging you to get something right in your life, that's a whole different matter. Sometimes you have to be uncomfortable before you can be comfortable. Sometimes you have to be aware of your sinfulness. In fact, you do have to be aware of your sinfulness before you can get your heart right with God. Yeah. The purpose of the law was to make us aware of our sinfulness so that we would have godly fear and sorrow. And we would come to God in true repentance, forsaking what was, that you might receive mercy, find grace to help you. So you came to a Savior who loved you, who looked past your faults, saw your need, who loved you before you loved Him, who first gave Himself away for you, that you might come into right relationship with Him, that you might share eternity together with Him. We grow in grace through worship. Jude verse 20 says, "Beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Is prayer important? We build ourselves up through studying the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15, amen? Study to show yourself approved. And we have to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. When we're hearers only, we deceive ourselves. When Jesus spoke the Word, they were words of life. When He spoke the Word, life resulted. "These words I speak unto you are spirit and their life." Jesus was mighty in spirit, and He operated from His spirit. And His mind was His servant. Amen? The mind has to come under obedience to the spirit. If your thought life is stinking, amen, it means that you need to build your spirit man so that your spirit man becomes stronger than that part of you. And it will automatically come under authority to the Spirit. Are you with me? How important it is that we build ourselves. Stay in the Word. Amen? Listen to the message preached. Amen? Feeding yourself. Worshiping God in spirit. And in truth. Spirit. First spirit. And in truth. Because you'll only know the truth by the Spirit. And when you know the truth will set you free. So don't let anyone put you under their bondage and their legalistic box to control you. Are you with me? Because you are free in Christ Jesus. You're free to run. You're free to serve unto the Lord. The Pharisee put heavy burdens on people that they could never bear. They could never live up to the standards that were set upon them. Not only could the people not live up to those standards, but they themselves could not live up to that standard. They were hypocrites. The only way that we can operate in grace, that we can operate in the Spirit, is by cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not enough to know Scripture. It's important that we do. But it's not enough. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. You know what, folks? You and I are like John. Amen? And Jesus and His humanity, in that sense, we were like Jesus too. Amen? He learned. He grew and became strong in spirit. And as he matured, he was able to tell the difference and to discern and to read beyond the surface of things and to understand the motivations behind things. For what purpose? The Bible talks about it this way, that if a man comes into your meeting and all prophesy by the Spirit. Or if the message being preached is by the Spirit, the light will come on. Their hearts will be exposed. Motivations will be exposed. They will know that they must repent and get their heart right with God.
Amen.
And they will fall down. Amen. And they will repent and say they know that God is in you of a truth. God is in you. We don't want to show people us. We want to show people Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be built up in our spirit so people are seeing Christ. So Christ is ministering through us, the vessel. Hallelujah. And we all have been given unique personalities, and that's okay. That's going to be part of it. But make sure your mind is not ruling you. Stay strong in the Spirit. Keep on praying in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, keep on praying in the Spirit. Man, and when we do, the light is on, you see. Hallelujah. But if we don't, we'll fall back into the place where the mind will then begin to dominate the intellect. And we become Pharisees. When people come to Jesus, they're so happy, they're so blessed, they're so joyful, they're childlike in their faith. It's wonderful! And then sometimes, unfortunately, the wrong people get a hold of them. And they squash them. And they put them under their bondage, and they put them in their box.
Right.
And they begin to control them.
Right.
Instead of feeding them, nurturing them, and building them up, to release them, amen, into their calling, into their destiny. So we build one another. We feed from the Spirit. Spiritual. Amen?
Amen?
Spirit to spirit. Heart to heart. We minister the grace of God. And when we operate from that place, folks, guess what? Quarreling, contention, and division goes out the door.
Amen.
Jesus, we praise you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift up your name. Hallelujah.